We've been bringing you the story of LA's musical connection to Kazakhstan over the last few weeks. When we left off last week, the LA Phil's Chad Smith was heading around the globe to see the world premiere of the Silent Steppe Cantata, a project 3 years in the making and the brainchild of composer Anne LeBaron and LA-based Kazakh opera singer Timur. Contributing reporter Adriana Cargill brings us the next chapter in the story. We join Chad as he touches down in Kazakhstan.
I have to tell you, when I first arrived, I had very little sense of what was coming.
That's Chad Smith, who at the time was the VP of artistic planning for the LA Phil. Timur, the LA-based Kazakh opera singer, had invited him to Astana. Astana is a city of skyscrapers that rises from the vast steppes of Central Eurasia. Fueled by Kazakhstan's rich petroleum reserves, it went from not much of a city at all to a grand capital in the space of just a few decades, not unlike Dubai.
And what struck me from the first performance that we heard in Astana with the National Orchestra there was that this was an extraordinarily sophisticated orchestra.
Chad was also struck by the fact that traditional Kazakh folk instruments are taught in the same music conservatories as Western instruments. But, as composer Anne LeBaron found out from talking to Kazakh classical composers, the two are often kept separate.
My sense was that none of them had ever written for the folk orchestras. But it's kind of like this is in their own backyard and, you know, no one is doing anything with it because it's beneath them.
The Silent Steppe Cantata would do the exact opposite. Instead of keeping them separate, it would blend them together. Influenced by Russian composition, it would be performed by a Kazakh folk orchestra and a woman's choir. LA-based Kazakh opera singer Timur would be the soloist, singing in Russian, Kazakh, and English. The premiere took place in Congress Hall on December 10, 2011. The hall's an austere gray theater, a relic of the city's Soviet past. A narrator speaking in Russian opened the performance. About 40 musicians and singers sat with instruments ready, beautifully clad in black, blue, and yellow embroidered traditional robes. Timur and a conductor were at center stage. The first movement, Awakening, was inspired by the country's tribal past, when nomads like Genghis Khan wandered the plains and mountains of Central Asia on horseback. Horses are a very revered animal in Kazakhstan. Here's Timur.
A lot of music that you would listen to that is written for a folk ensemble, folk orchestra, has that feeling as if you were riding a horse. In fact, there's actually a sound of hooves playing with two hooves together.
Then, the second movement, the silencing of the steppe.
The steppe is really never silent. There are always sounds in it. You see the birds, you see the smaller animals, you hear insects, you hear wolves, you hear the steppe antelopes galloping. You hear all of those sounds.
When Kazakhstan became part of the Soviet Union in 1936, the country was forced to collectivize, leading to the starvation, death, or immigration of around half the population of the country.
That was a metaphor for saying that as a result of all those horrible decision-making, the steppe fell silent because there were no words, no sounds to justify all those deaths that occurred.
And then the third movement.
Viva la Steppe is a celebration of where Kazakhstan is now. And it's very up-tempo, fast, and, you know, lots of rhythms going on.
There was quite an emotional response, right? And it was, I think, a sense of again, that we had gone on this remarkable musical journey and kind of emotional journey that Anne and Timur had created for us, but that for the audience who was there outside of we who had come from outside of Kazakhstan, was a sense of pride that this was their story.
A young woman came up to me, and many people were in tears, and they said, how could you write a piece that is so based in our culture, being an American, you know? And so this young woman came up to me, and she said, for the first time in my life, I feel proud to be Kazakh. I'll never forget that.
The day of the premiere was the 20th anniversary of the independence of Kazakhstan from the Soviet Union.
People were giving me jewelry, family heirlooms, you know. It was an amazing experience. Then I knew everything I had done was for a good reason, even if it was, you know, that one person, but the response was quite overwhelming.
Let me tell you from my own personal perspective. I'm not speaking for any of the countries. My background is half Kazakh, half Russian. So I feel like Russian culture has always looked down upon the Kazakhstan folk traditions. Yes, they would acknowledge that the ethnic, musical development was very important, was very vital for the, but it was looked down upon.
Though the Silent Step Cantata was the first cantata to blend these two traditions, it wasn't the first time Russian and Kazakh music have been mixed together. In fact, Timur is really excited by contemporary composers who look to their folk traditions to come up with a uniquely Kazakh voice.
There is this definite search for a new Kazakh identity. And I think music is the bridge that will connect and reconcile those identities and reconcile those tensions.
News of the Silent Step Cantata traveled through the classical music community in Kazakhstan, and it wasn't long before Roshan Jumaniyazova heard about it. That same year, she launched Radio Classic, the first classical music station in Central Asia. And, in return, news of her bold attempt to build a station from scratch soon reached the ears of KUSC's president Brenda Barnes, here in Los Angeles.
On our final feature from Kazakhstan, find out how an email out of the blue ended up sending KUSC's president Brenda Barnes halfway across the world to help a fellow classical music radio station. She went there to teach, but she learned a few lessons too. That's all in the last installment of our special series on LA's Kazakhstan Connection. To hear the other episodes in the series, check out the Arts Alive podcast at kusc.org. And thanks to contributing reporter Adriana Cargill for bringing us these stories.